Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, today, when we come to birthday, we always love to go back to the foundation. We always love to go back to the start. What is Hope City all about? What do we put our focus on here at Hope City? When we started to look at what God was calling us to do, God put a couple of things on our heart that we needed to be about. And every time we come back to a birthday, we love to come back to this moment and say, okay, why are we here? You know what drives us? There's a question that we ask. If Hope City was gone tomorrow, would our community even notice that we're gone? And that drives us because we want them to notice. We want to be making such an impact on people's lives that literally it changes and transforms our community. We want all of Avenue A to be changed, right? I mean, and all of White City to be changed, and all of this, the valley. And so when we were saying, God, what do you want us to be about? When we started to get ready to plant a church, what do you want us to be about? And the Lord brought us to Matthew 22, 37 through 40. And when Jesus was talking to the religious folks of the day, they were trying to figure out, okay, what do we have to do? Like, what are the rules? So, you know, people talk about religion, right? They go, man, I don't know if I'm really into religion. I'm not either. I hate religion. I love Jesus and I love relationship. But religion is that man-made set of rules. It's people looking at others going, well, man, you don't measure up. Listen, we cannot do anything to cause Jesus to love us any more or any less than he already does. It's not about what people look like. It's not about what people walk in the four doors or in our doors here. What it's about is the fact that Jesus loved us first. Religion is a set of man-made rules and regulations that men try to create to control their way to God. But the reality of it is none of us measure up. We can never be perfect enough to make our way to Jesus. And Jesus said, listen, there's two things that you need to worry about. There's two things that you need to put as main focuses in your life. And what I'm so thankful is that Jesus builds our relationship with him based on love. He loves you so much. I want to let that sink down in your heart today. You might have walked in here and felt totally unlovable. If you were to be honest, we were to sit down and talk, you'd say, Pastor, I don't feel like anyone loves me. I want you to know something. Jesus loves you. He loves you so much, he went to the cross for you. He loves you so much that he made a way, even while you were yet a sinner. Jesus cut through all the religion and the religious rules of the day with this scripture, Matthew 22, 37, when he clearly laid it out. The religious folks of the day said, what do I have to do to be saved? What do you require of me? And here's what Jesus replied. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. And what God called us when we planted Hope City, he said, love God and love people. That's our vision. And if we do that well, it'll transform to love God and to love people. And listen, it's so important that these are the basis and the foundation. At Hope City, loving God well and loving others is what our mission and our focus is. These two commands drive us. Loving God is a first. Having a vertical relationship with God and loving him is first. And then having a horizontal relationship where we love others, that's second. But I'm going to tell you, you're never going to love others like you're supposed to if you don't love God first. And if you haven't experienced his love in your life, that is game-changing. And there's nothing you can do to earn it because you already have it. There's nothing that you need to change to experience his love because he already loves you. He showed it when he got up on the cross. Love must be the foundation of everything we do. And here's my challenge to you is make it personal. When you walk out of these four walls today, that's when this begins, when you can love others. Make it personal. Make it your mission to love God with everything that you are, everything that you have, and then to love others. Make it personal. Take it. Because listen, Hope City, we're only as good as what we are personally. When we come together, listen, it's not about the building here. It's about the people that come in. And that's what transforms. When you feel God's love so much, and then you pour it out on others. When I preached this sermon a couple years ago, and I think it's really worthwhile to talk about it again, And some people go, well, why do we talk about it every year? Because we need to come back to what's important. We got to be reminded. The Bible reminds us over and over and over again of the important things. And what the Lord showed me is he showed there are people with a broken cup. He showed me this picture of a cup. And there's a picture of this broken cup. And I asked him, Lord, I said, God, why is it some people just get, you pour your love out on them and it just seems they're empty. And it just keeps happening. And the Lord says, because their cup is broken. And today I believe God wants to heal your cup so that you can receive the love that he has for you. So you can receive the hope that he has for you. If your cup has been broken, maybe your broken goods walking in here. I want you to know that God loves you and he wants to heal that cup. And what I love about that cup is he makes it brand new, like it never even was broken to begin with. And guys, it's not a slogan, it's not a platitude, it's who we are. Loving God and loving the. How many of you feel so much love when you walk in this place? It's because this is where it starts. And from day one, when the first people, how many of you are here on opening Sunday? On opening Sunday 4 years ago, look at that. And how many of you would agree, we've talked from day one about loving God and loving others. That is our culture. And listen, that's what we're going to be about. This may not be a surprise or new information for you, but it's a time to refocus and recalibrate and say, God, how are we doing at loving our community? How are we doing at loving each other? Help us to do well, God.
And as we come back to our mission, why does Hope City exist? To love God and love people. I think it's really easy for us to say, well, I've already heard this. I've heard this like two years in a row now. But I can promise you every time we come back to the same message, there's something new that God highlights and brings out to you, to me, to any of us. So don't just dismiss this foundation series like, well, they do this every year. It's okay for me to miss. I promise you there will be things in here that you're like, whoa, that was new to me. I need to start practicing that. And so we're going to break down these two points, love God and love people, and talk about what does that mean for us? What does that mean for us? How do we practice this? In the scripture that Jason read at the very beginning in Matthew, can you put that up there? Jesus is talking to some people, and they asked him, like, what's the greatest commandment? And this is what he said. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And we're going to stop right there. In this, Jesus was quoting to the people from the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 5 is what Jesus was quoting to them. And they would have been familiar to this because this was part of the passages that was called the Law of Moses. And Moses had written these passages inspired by God's Holy Spirit on how the Israelites were to direct their lives. Just because it was in the Old Testament does not make it irrelevant for you and I today. Jesus said that he didn't come to like do away with the law, but he came to fulfill the requirements of the law. The requirements of the law were fulfilled with Jesus' sacrifice. That doesn't make it irrelevant. He didn't say we're no longer supposed to live our lives according to what Moses taught us. And so the religious leaders of this day would have been very familiar with this passage in Deuteronomy. And I think a lot of times these religious leaders get a really bad rap because we talk about how they're like strict, how they were suspicious of Jesus or of anybody else that was doing something different. They were judgmental. As a matter of fact, they had taken all of the things that were written in the law and kind of like put it all in this nice, neat little box and was like, this is where God lives. He lives here. In this. And this is what it looks like to be obedient to God. And God can only move when it looks like this. And that's what blew the top off of their boxes when Jesus stepped on the scene. Because he didn't stay in that little box. And they were like, hey, listen, you're breaking my box here. I don't think that the religious leaders were trying to be mean. In what I believe is that they were so terrified of stepping outside of God's law, of stepping into disobedience in some way, that the only way that they could like try to make everything okay is to build this little box. Like, this is what it looks like. And it has to look like this. It's black and white, just like this. And Jesus shows up and he's like, it's not just black and white. And actually, like, you're taking things and you're doing them, like, you're taking them so literally that you're not letting them penetrate your heart. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, it goes on after it talks about loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and mind. It says this, and you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and of your gates. Keep that verse up for just a minute, Casey. Nothing in this passage is wrong. This is all good stuff. We should be repeating God's word again and again to ourselves. We should be getting it into our mind and down into our hearts. God's word, the words that are in his active and living Bible, should come to our minds on a regular basis. We should be talking to our children about God. We should be talking to them about what it looks like to follow after Jesus, to live a life that honors God. We should have places in our homes that remind us when we look at them, like it reminds us about God and about his promises and about his direction for our lives. These are all good things. But these religious leaders had taken them so literally. Like, you want to know how literally they had taken them? When Moses says, tie them to your hands and wear them on your foreheads as reminders, these men and women, or men, had actually taken little boxes and written the law of Moses on these little tiny little scrolls, shoved them in the boxes, and then wore them as a headband on their head. Moses said, wear them on your foreheads as reminders. They took it so literally that they're walking around with these boxes strapped to their heads. Because God said, we got to tie them to our foreheads as reminders. And really, what God is saying to us is loving him is more than just memorizing scripture. It's living that scripture. It's living it. It's putting it into practice and allowing the living, breathing, transformable word of God to change us and challenge us on a daily basis, right? Loving God should impact our entire being. Yeah. This is what it looks like when you, our anchor verse for today in Matthew, I want to talk about these few things that Jesus said when he quoted Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and your mind. What is he talking about? Well, first of all, is the heart. The heart is the seat of our spiritual existence. It's the part of us that has the connection with God. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. That's what our heart does. It's the part of us that connects with God. How many of you ever, like, you're talking to someone or you're listening to someone and they say something, or you're hearing something, you're hearing a message, and you're like, you get goosebumps, and you're like, woo. Anyone ever have that experience? Right. Listen, that's not just something you'd be like, ooh, that was cool. No. That's your spirit responding to what's being said, and that's God saying, pay attention, right there. This is important. Wake up. Listen to what this conversation is saying. I'm right here. I have something I want you to get from this. Those moments when our spirit responds isn't just to make us feel like, woo, look at us. It's for us to stop and be like, whoa, okay, God, I hear you. What are you saying in this moment? What do you want me to learn? And the same goes for, like, the spirit of conviction. How many of you have ever felt conviction? Like, you're walking in a certain way, you're doing something that God is saying to you, that's not my best plan for you. That goes completely against my word and what I have for you. I need, come back over here to me. Have you ever experienced that? I have, right? Okay, so the conviction, the Bible says that it's the Holy Spirit that convicts men to salvation. And so God's Holy Spirit is like, come on, come back. And that's what conviction does. Conviction draws us back to get into alignment with Jesus. Now, here's how the enemy has a foe of that, a false impression of that. Once we repent for whatever behavior it is that God's convicting us about, we're like, okay, that was not cool. I am so sorry, God. I hear you. I'm heading back this way. The enemy likes to throw in these two little companions called guilt and shame. And guilt and shame like to sit on our shoulders and be like, you're an idiot. You don't love God. If you loved God, why would you have even done that in the first place? How could God even love you? What is wrong with you? Listen, I am here to tell you that guilt and shame need to go back to hell from where they came from, because when we respond to the Spirit's conviction in our lives, our hearts become aligned with God once again, and it is over and done with. The second part that Jesus talked about is our soul. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul. When he talks about the soul, he's referring to where we have our emotions and our feelings. Ooh, and those can get us into so much trouble if we let our emotions and our feelings guide our path, can't they? Right? But when we allow ourselves to take a step back and be like, okay, hang on. I need to know what the truth is here. We can get so much further. David addressed his own soul in the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 43, he said, why am I so sad? Why am I so upset? I should put my hope in God and keep praising him, my Savior and my God. When we find ourselves with feelings that don't align with God's word, we can say, hey, soul, come on, put your hope in God. Jesus, what is the truth? Because I need my feelings and my emotions to line up with you, right? If you're like, I don't know how to do that, I think you should register for Soul Care on October 5th so we can give you some tools on how to make sure that this becomes a daily practice in your life. And finally, this is the big one. He says, love him with all your mind. Our mind is where our thoughts, our intellect comes in. And this is often the very first area of attack by the enemy. A couple of years ago when we were preaching this, Pastor Jason preached this part. And I don't remember how many thoughts.
Over 10,000.
Over 10,000 thoughts come through the human mind every day. That's overwhelming, right? And here's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. It says, we're human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning. Right there. And to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture their rebellious thoughts and make them obey God, obey Christ. What? How do you capture thoughts and then make them obedient? This is how you capture thought. You recognize like there's something going through your head and you're like, okay, Jesus, I'm hearing this. This is what I am going through my head. What's the truth? And you just wait a minute. Let him give you some truth. And then do you know how you make that thought obey Christ? You speak out that truth. Okay, the truth is that da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. All of a sudden you've captured that thought, you've given it a big fat spanking and sent it on its way. This is how we love God with all of our heart, our soul, and our mind. And it's not just a one-time thing. It should be a daily practice in our lives.
When we talk about love from this part of Scripture, it's a verb. That means we choose to love. It's an action. When God says he loved us first, when Jesus said he loved, it's an action. It's a verb. We choose to love. There are people in your life that you are going to have to choose to love, right? And when we talk about loving God and then loving others, look at this, what Matthew, again, taking back to what Jesus said in Matthew 22:39-40. This, a second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on those two commandments. Friends, if you say you're a Christ follower, but you don't love others, you're not following Christ. Very simple. And I'm not talking about fixing others. I'm not talking about telling other people what our opinion. I'm talking about loving them no matter where they're at, no matter what they're walking in the door with, no matter what they look like. Loving people is so important. Loving the unlovable. Look at what Jesus said in John 13:35. But by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Listen, you can't be, well, I love them, but I don't like them. Truly loving. And here's what we have to do. We have to put Jesus' eyes on when we look at another person. We have to love people the way Jesus loved them. It was unconditional. I say it all the time, and I want to say it again. There's nothing you can do for God to love you any more or any less than he already does. You are loved. And when you realize that you are loved, it's easy to turn around and pour that out on other people. Loving others. You don't get to pick and choose who you're going to love. Some of you, you've never been loved the way that you've always dreamed of. And I want to tell you, when you're in relationship with God, that's where love begins. Maybe you're afraid of loving others because when you've stepped out and you've loved others, you've been hurt. Maybe you've never had a good example of what loving others looks like. One of the things about this scripture that really hits me is you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Some of you, you don't love yourself. You look in the mirror and you see all that's wrong. You look in the mirror and you believe what other people have told you about yourself. You have got to start loving yourself first. You've got to know what it means. Some of you might need to forgive yourself for things that have happened in the past. You have to love yourself first. You have to see yourself the way Jesus sees you. And I want to tell you, he doesn't see you as an addict. He doesn't see you as a screw up. He doesn't see you any other way than perfect because he loves you. And we're made perfect because of his love. He doesn't see you by what maybe others have defined you as. He sees you as he created you. Which the Bible says we are created in his image. We're perfect in his image. Why are we perfect? Because of what he did on the cross. We're not perfect by what we do, trust me. We love others. The other side of that, if there's some people in this room, you love yourself way too much. You got your eyes on yourself and not on anybody else. And I want to tell you, we've got to take our eyes off ourselves and put them on the people all around us. It can't be all about us. And we live in a world and a culture that wants you to think it's all about you, and it can't be. And here's the thing. I think that's why we're having such a trouble with mental illness and anxiety and worry and fear. We got our eyes on ourselves too much. And if you'll take your eyes off yourself and put them on others, you're going to see all that God has for you, and you'll stop looking at all the flaws that are on, that maybe you see when you look in the mirror. Loving well can break even the hardest person. And I want to tell you, you get too close to a person that likes to hurt others. Hurting people hurt people. They need to be loved. We don't need to tell people all that they're doing wrong. They already know it. They just need to be loved. loving God and loving others. And I want to take us to 1 Corinthians 13, which is the most important set of scriptures when it talks about how are we supposed to love. And I want to tell you, use this as an evaluation tool. Lord, how am I doing at loving others? And then go to this scripture. Here it is. If I could speak all the languages of earth and angels, but don't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. There are some people whose lives are noisy gongs and clanging cymbals because they don't love well. If I had the gift of prophecy and I've understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all the knowledge, and if I had such faith that could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't have loving others, I would have gained nothing. Here it is. Love, and this is the kind of love. When we talk about agape love, when we talk about love becoming a verb, here's what it looks like. Love is patient and kind. How are you doing in the area of patience and kindness? Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable. Some of you are irritable. Come on, love people. And it keeps no record of being wronged. Guys, some of us, to love well, we got to forgive first. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. That's the kind of love Jesus has for you. How about we turn that around and we become that reflection? And listen, when we walk out of the four walls today, we become Jesus with skin on, and we love the way Jesus loved. You might say, well, that was Jesus. He was also 100% man, so he felt the same things we feel. If he could do it, we can do it. Prophecy and speaking in an unknown language and special knowledge will become useless, but love will last forever. This is how we're to love. I want you to hear this. If you feel unlovable today, God loves you. If you feel like, man, I've made too many mistakes, God loves you. There's nothing that you have done that changes God's love for you, because it wasn't about you in the first place. It's about him. And he loves you. He loves you right where you're at. And when we experience that kind of love, we turn around and we can give it to others. Loving God and loving people.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.